chapter 19. If you got your Bibles. I have a lot of scripture to read, so don't stand up. Let you rest just a minute. I want to say a couple things that's on my heart before I preach. Had I been an actor, I would have said, close the curtain. The act's finished. I have to follow the people that I had to follow this morning. And I'm thankful for the young people we have in this church. And there's something on my heart that I need to say to the young people and the parents. I appreciate the way they dress. I appreciate the way they conduct themselves. If you went to some of the places that I went to, you'd understand what the preacher's talking about. With young children running all over the church, in the pulpit, on the altars, some of the most ungodliest things that I see is the way they dress. So I want to commend the parents of the children, because I believe this is a holy place. You can believe anything you want to. A lot of them evidently believe it's just a place to have some kind of meeting, some place to go that people want to fellowship and talk about whatever happened during the week. This is God's house. This is a holy place. Y'all remember when I taught on the sanctuary? A sanctuary is on the inside. If you've been saved, you're on the inside. And it's a holy place that God gives us to be. He indwells us. He expects us to do our best to live holy. And I know that's not popular today. We have a president and leaders that lie all the time. But we need men of God and women of God that'll tell people the truth that the house of God is not a playhouse. Amen. And I don't apologize for that, Brother Tony. I was raised that way. I've sinned under men of God that's taught me that this is not a playground. And I believe our young people understand that. And one reason they understand it is because of the leaders of this church. A pastor that lives right. His wife and children and the deacons that we have that lead this place. Dress right, look right, live right, glory to God. It's hard not to shout this morning. I feel good this morning. Fabulous February. I got you. Y'all got the worst excuse for a preacher. But I talked to God this week. I said they could get a better preacher. They could get a better man, but they won't get anybody that loves you more than this preacher loves you and does his best to try to live right. And when I go out of this place, I preach the same thing I'm going to preach this morning. But it's always different. Thank you, parents. Thank you, young people. I won't preach long. I'll do my best to just give you what God gave me. I've got three things on our heart. Trying to discern. Trying to make sure I was on the right page. Exodus chapter 19, verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. Notice that. The same day that they got out of Egypt, they went right into the wilderness. The Sinai is a desert. So, this is not an easy road. This is not something that you can, a utopia. This is not heaven on earth. Now, we can be made to sit in heavenly places, Brother Tony. But while you're in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to be tried. And you're going to have troubles and trials. And you better get used to it. Because we're going to a place that all of that's outside the gate, amen. But while you're here, just get used to it and just endure it for a little while. For the Bible said in the book of James, our life is but a vapor. We appear for a little while and it vanishes away. So do what you can while you can, amen. Woo, thank God. The same day they got out of Egypt. They've been all in hundreds of years in bondage. And finally they get out. And you say, well, we're going right into heaven. No, they didn't. We're going right into Canaan. No, they didn't. They had to go through some things before they got there. And they had to go toward the desert. I want you to know, Christians, sometimes this is the dry way, amen. Sometimes you don't get to feel like we feel this morning. But thank God, water. If we could just get to the well. But I'm glad he said, when he saved me, he said it'd be a well. I'm springing up into everlasting life. I just got to get down and get my well cleaned out sometime. Oh, preacher, you don't need your well cleaned out. If you was ever raised on a farm, these things got in that well. Now, it's not what I'm going to preach on. My job was to be the water boy and to clean out the well. But I'm glad I got a drink of pure water. Brother Darrell, when I got saved, he said, that well that I'm going to give you, it'll spring up. And there ain't nothing filthy in it. There ain't no dirt in it, brother. It's clean, but this old flesh is not clean. Amen. Get that this morning. You're not in heaven yet. And you're not going to get there unless you get saved. For they departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and they pitched in the wilderness. Pitched means to be set up. They set their tents up in the wilderness. Why did he send them that way? Because he was going to try them and he was going to test them. Let me tell you something. Everybody that's in here this morning is not saved. Everybody that's in this building is not going to heaven. But you can. Right now, you're pitching. You've got your life set up toward the wilderness. Just like over there when Lot said, he looked out there and he saw the well-watered plains and he pitched his tents toward Sodom. That's exactly what the devil will do to you. He'll set you up in a place. It looks good. There's plenty of water and there's nothing but filth and trouble in it. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called on him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. The eagle is a type of a victory. The eagle always represents power. It's the mightiest bird. It's the strongest bird. It's the fastest bird. It has the keenest eyesight. He used the eagle for a particular reason to let us know. He said, you've seen what I've done unto you. I've got you out of Egypt. And I bear you on eagle's wings. Bear means to be held up. Thank God. There's been many times, Brother Darrell, he's held me up. He's lifted me up. Glory to God. Well, thank God. And I'm glad I don't have to walk around with a bunch of turkeys when I can soar with eagles. Amen. When do you do that? When you get in the spirit? When I'm not in the spirit, I'm walking around with the turkeys. When I get in the spirit, I can soar with the eagles. He said, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. The Egyptians are a type of the world, a type of the lost. You know what he did to them folks? He drowned them in the Red Sea. They thought they could catch up to the... Thank you, Lord. They thought they could catch up to them. Pharaoh said, let's go after them. Let's catch up with them. But you know what? God had prepared that thing just right. And let me tell you something, amen. He's prepared heaven and he's prepared hell. Hell is not created for you. It's created for the devil and his angels. And God doesn't want you to go this morning. But if you don't get saved, you'll lift your eyes in hell. The Bible said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. And I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. God's motive for his people is to bring them to him. That's always why he did what he did. He sent his son to die to bring us to him. We couldn't get there by ourselves. We had to be brought, amen. We had to have some help, amen. Listen, folks, you can't do this without the Lord. You can't get saved without the Lord. You can't even pray without the Lord. Your prayer just goes up, don't get above your head. But when the Lord comes on the scene, you don't care about what's going on around you. You're talking to him through Jesus. The Holy Ghost takes your prayer and takes it up there, amen. Well, every now and then, when I really get where I need to get, see, pride is not good in a man of God. A man of God must be humble. He must get humble before the Lord, Brother Tony. He's tried and he's tested. And sometimes he fails. And sometimes he feels like I'm just a worm, like Jacob said. Brother EJ, and sometimes he feels like he can whip a bear with his wings. But when you really get down humble, you say, Lord, it's me this morning. It's me tonight. I'm down in my basement praying the other day. Dogs in there. It don't matter. It didn't smell too good. I didn't care. I said, God, I want to talk to you this morning about me this morning. That's what you need to get to this morning. You can't pray for somebody else until you get cleaned up. I expect this altar to be full this morning. I do. Because I prayed about this message a long time. Let's skip down to verse 12, and I'm hurrying. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. Verse 13. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. We touched on that this morning, Sunday school. Confirmation, Brother Tony. I'm waiting for that trumpet to sound. How you know, preacher, it's going to be the right one. It'd be the right one. I've heard a lot of trumpets, Brother Tony, over at Antioch. Brother Johnny, one of the deacons over there, Brother Cook used to love to hear him play that trumpet. I thought about it when he played that trumpet and said, hey, no grave going to hold this body down. I'd start visualizing. I'd start praying about it. I'd start thinking about it, Brother Billy. I said, that trumpet ain't the right one. I said, but one day he's going to blow that trumpet, brother, and we're going up, glory to God. It's not by works of righteousness. It's because I accepted the works he did on the cross for me, amen. I'll know that's the right trumpet. When you hear the trumpet, soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. That's the type of the trumpet blowing and us going to heaven. We're going up there, folks. If you're not saved this morning, you're going to face him in judgment. It's going to be a brief thing. It's not going to be long, drawn out thing. When you get to tell the Lord all this stuff, there was one in the Bible said, look, I've done this, we've done this, and I've done this. There's going to be preachers up there. There's going to be deacons up there. There's going to be lay members up there that's been good, moral men that's not going in. He's going to look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Listen, they some borders in these things, and that's what I want to preach on with the help of God this morning. They some borders. A border is a line or limit or something that divides two things. And I tell you what, I've got property lines at my house, and my neighbors are live beside me, one on one side, and the other one lives way away from me. There's a property line, and I don't appreciate it when they come over into my territory without talking to me. I'm just the way I feel. You can feel the way you want to. I got a fence in my backyard. Glory to God. But there's a marker. That's my property, amen. You've got yours. I've got mine. Glory to God. That's the same way. We're going to heaven, amen. It's God's, amen. And he don't appreciate anybody trying to get in there that don't know him, because he owns it, amen. Verse number 21. Now let's go on and read a little bit further. Verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. All of them went out there to meet with God. Remember, Moses was the only one that could go up. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on the smoke. Wherever God is, there's going to be something happen. You're going to feel his presence. When Mildred testified this morning, I felt it. If you didn't, God pity you. But I seen her stand up. She did everything she could to get the house of God. God respects that. When we make no effort to go to the house of God, he does not respect it, amen. Things come when we can't go. But when you do everything you can to be here, he will recognize it and he will bless you for it. I don't apologize for that kind of preaching. Bible said he brought them out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mountain. It was all together as smoke, as a furnace, and smoke was coming out. That was the holiness of God. You know, when Solomon built the temple, the preachers couldn't even go in there and minister. The temple was filled with the power of God. That's the way it feels this morning. When our young people begin to sing and hold up their arms, I said, I can hold up my arm. This one's a little bit sore because I had some minor surgery done this week. That's okay. Don't you worry about it. God will take care of that. But I'm going to glory to God. I can hold up one arm. Oh, my God. You can do something to praise Him, amen. You can talk to Him. You have that right this morning. Don't let nobody try to keep you down and stop you down. Praise Him, amen. He's worthy, glory to God. I like it when the smoke fills the house of God. This is one of my favorite verses. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him by a voice. I'm glad he talks to me. He talked to you like Brother Don Worth? No, Brother Don, he don't talk like you. He talks to you like Brother Jeff Clark? No. No, he's God. His voice is like a voice of many waters. He speaks to me through this book. He speaks to me through His Spirit. He speaks to me through others that's anointed by the Spirit. There's a difference in a man of God, as I read in Sunday school. You can trust a man that preaches in the Spirit, but you cannot trust one that don't have the Spirit, amen. He said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're what? None of His, amen. The Spirit will bear witness in a man of God. And the Bible said, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. Brother Nick, get a song ready. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Listen to what he said to the preachers. And let the priest also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves. Sanctify. Nobody should get in this pulpit or any other pulpit if they're not right with God. The first thing they ought to say is, Lord, if I'm not right, if there's anything in my life, forgive me, and then they can get in it. But they don't seem to understand that anymore. They'll call anybody as a pastor. They'll call anybody as a deacon because they're good, moral people. Let me just give you one illustration. I could give you 100, but I'll just give you one. There was a man that came over in the Bible, and he was a rich young ruler, and he was a good moral man. He come up to the Lord. You'll find that in 3 of the 4 Gospels. And he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What am I going to do? And another one of them, I could give you all 3 of them right now, but we don't have time. He said, what good thing must I do? The Bible plainly teaches there's not one good, no, not one. Amen. So he already had told on himself and said he was a self-righteous man, amen. Lord said, if you enter into life, keep the commandments. He started calling them, do not commit adultery, do not lie, do not steal, do not murder, on and on and on. And he looked at the Lord and he said, all these have I kept for my youth up. This was a good man. I bet the First Baptist Church or any church around here said he's just right to be a preacher. He's just right to be our pastor. He's just right to be our deacon. Jesus looked at him. He said, one thing thou lackest. Jesus looks at the heart. He doesn't care about your good works because good works cannot get you to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's by His blood. Amen. You can't work your way to heaven. You should try to live right once you're saved, but you're not going to get saved because you live right. I hope you understood what I just said. That was real fast. Go and sell all that you've got and give to the poor and come and follow me. God had put a border in that man's life. He said, here's the line, rich young ruler, good rich young ruler. You're at the line. Somebody this morning is right at that line. He said, if you really want to follow me, you got to sell everything you got. You know what that man did, Charlene? He dropped his head and went away sorrowfully because he had great riches. He put his money above the Lord's. Anything you put above the Lord becomes an idol. There's a line that you better not cross. But if you do and you're saved, there's somebody inside of you. The Bible said godly sorrow worketh repentance. And when I mess up and you do, we can go to it. It don't take a long, drawn-out prayer. Because the most important thing is going to Him and crossing that line and say, Lord, I may have made this mistake. You may not have done it willfully, Brother EJ or Jeff or me or anybody else, any other preacher, but we make mistakes, amen. And He begins to work on your heart. And He don't come to judge you, does He, Brandon? He comes to tell you there's a remedy. That remedy is prayer and forgiveness and grace and mercy. I'm glad, glory to God, I found that out a long time ago. I don't use Him as a spare tire, but I sure do. I know what He is, amen. He's God Almighty, amen. Youngins, I'm telling you, we can come to Him and talk. But here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Book of Job. You ever been on the beach and you watch that ocean roll in and it just stops, don't it? Let me read that. And I'll ask Jeff to come up. Book of Job, chapter 38. I don't want to stand your feet. I'm through preaching. Verse number 11. Come on, bro, Jeff. Job 38, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud ways be stayed. What stops them waves from going over the beach and coming over and drowning us? He does. What stops the devil from destroying you as a child of God? He does. What stops Him from taking everything you got? He does. Whoa, thank God. I'm glad for the hand of God this morning. I know what His hand can do. If you're here this morning, you're right up to that line. Maybe you've crossed the line. You want to come and talk to the Lord about it. Say, Lord, I just want to talk to you. Why don't you come? Sing on, Brother Nick.